All right, man, Cave.
Yeah,
so
we gonna
get right into the next topic, yeah. And that is free agency. Not free agency, but trade rumors about Russell Westbrook now wanting to leave Oklahoma City Thunder. Yeah. With trade of Paul George going to the Clippers, Russell Westbrook is not happy. He's getting, you know, he's being tired of being left alone. He's getting, you know.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant left him, and now Paul George is leaving him. He's like, you know what? I want out of this hellhole. Can I please go somewhere else? And rumors have it, you know, we got teams like Detroit, Miami, Houston. Those are just three real quick teams that really have real interest in taking on Westbrook's contract.
Right.
With that being said, who do you want Russell Westbrook to end up with? Like, who do you want? Where do you want Russell to go?
Who I want?
Yeah, who do you want? Where do you want him to go, basically? Out of Houston, Miami, and Detroit.
If I'm Russell,
mm-hmm.
I want to go get some good weather in Miami.
Ah.
You go from Oklahoma City to Detroit, you might get a little discouraged to play basketball this year. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Very much so.
No, I mean, if I'm thinking about locker room, Miami. If I'm thinking about potential success, chances to get to the finals, Miami. If I'm thinking about a team that, you know, still has a good front office that can get players around you, Miami. You already got Jimmy Butler there. You got some other good players there, but the main factor for me would just be, first I have to fill it out. I think Russell needs to go spend a little time with Jimmy, talk to him, fill that out, man, because they, you know, two dudes from the streets, you know, you just kind of have to fill that out before you sign three to five years, you know.
Exactly.
And a lot of these players are like Kawhi Leonard, doing these 2+1 deals, you know, not really giving anybody a long-term commitment, giving them a couple years with a player option.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad at him doing that if he does that. You know, give him 2 years, $47 million, player option for another 30.
I don't think that Westbrook is going to restructure his contract at all. If you were Russell Westbrook, let me just tell you the amount of millions you're gonna make in the next couple years. This next season you're gonna get $38 million.
Right.
Next season after that it'll be 41. Next season after that it'll be 44.
Right.
And you have a player option, which you will pick up for $47 million after that year. You understand you are going to get richer and richer and richher. There is no way in hell. I don't care what team I'm going to that I'm about to say, yeah, let me go ahead and take a couple of dollars off that to help you out. That's not the case. If you believe in your heart of hearts, Russell Westbrook is not going to win a championship. With that being said, you might as well make as much fucking money as possible in the NBA. If you're not going to focus on winning a championship, or you're not trying to hop on a team just to win a championship, you know what I'm saying? You really just want to play ball. You don't give a damn about the rest of the stuff. If that's the case, make the most money that you can possibly make now, period. While he still has fresh legs, he's still relatively young, you know, per se. He's relatively young still, so, you know, he can still do his thing. You know, unfortunately, I mean, this actually works out better for OKC if you think about it, because they can somehow get this contract off of their shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to land any free agent. I don't care how much money they can have what New York had. No one's going to go there.
No.
I'll tell you that right now. So,
it's not a desirable place to work.
At all.
Yeah.
Not saying that it's a bad city or nothing like that. I've been to Oklahoma City, you know what I'm saying, a few times. Not a bad city.
Yeah, I've been there too.
It's
different. It's a cool looking town. It's got nice.
Yeah, it's got some stuff. Yeah, it's got some good stuff to it, but it's not.
Been through there on occasion, but
it ain't nothing like Miami.
No,
it ain't nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? Houston, it ain't nothing like Houston either. Houston is a very big city as well.
Right.
So with that being said, if you wanted to go to Miami, I'm with that. You were right. Jimmy Butler and him will definitely have to feel that out. And that's one of the things I think Miami is wary of, because you're going to pay Russell Westbrook more money every single year that he is on your team. That's going to be very hard to swallow. That's a cap hit that is, you know, like you said, very hard to swallow.
Right.
the reason why I don't like it in Detroit is because you're already paying two other guys.
Right.
You're paying Andre Drummond a shit ton of money, and, you know, you picked up Blake Griffin's contract that he had from the Clippers, so you're still paying him a shit ton of money as well.
Well, you picked up Markieff Morris for $7.4 million.
All right, but that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what they're making.
Well, but yeah,
they have $100 million contracts with Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin. So if you add another one with Russell Westbrook, you are hitting a luxury tax. You're hitting a cap luxury that I don't think that Detroit needs to pay for right now. You need to be, in my opinion, Detroit needs to move Andre Drummond a lot faster than they need to do anything else. So if that's the case, well, I don't like to say it like that because then you have a hole in the center position.
I was going to say, do you want to really play against Andre, though? Like, not on your team?
I mean, if I'm shipping him to the West. Yeah. I'm not worried about him anymore.
That's even worse right now. He'll definitely be in the playoffs.
No, he won't.
If he goes to a Clippers or a Lakers
I'm talking about if you ship Andre Drummond to Oklahoma City.
Oh, well, yeah. Then you got it. Yeah, you don't have to worry about him at that point. But.
At all. You never have to worry about him again.
Yeah.
But you're going to give up everything. That, you know, you're going to give up future draft picks. So you're not really helping yourself out at all. Not saying that Andre... I'm not... Because in my opinion, Andre Drummond is... He is a good skilled center, but he's missing something. He's missing that it factor that could help him and the Detroit Pistons get to a higher level in the playoffs than they will ever, you know, that they've ever been in. Not saying that they haven't won a championship, but I'm just saying, like, in recent history, like, we need Andre to be a lot better than that or a lot tougher. I just want to see some physicality from him. I don't want to see him getting pushed around. I want to see him pushing motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, yeah.
Be more aggressive right. Because you have Blake Griffin, you know, in the paint with you. And Blake Griffin, in my mind, is the best player on the Pistons.
But it's got to be kind of upsetting, too, as a Detroit fan, that you have this guy who you pay $100 million for.
Yep.
And then you see a talent like a Joel Embiid come in the league at the same position and be like three times better than your guy. Like, you know what I mean? You're thinking like, damn, what the hell's wrong with this guy? I mean, you started off good and, you know, and you had two bigs at that time competing for a spot and you got, and you get rid of this guy. Now you're stuck with Drummond and he just doesn't get better every year. Like you would want him to, get better from long distance. You'd want him to be a better perimeter defender. He's got concrete blocks, his feet.
And I agree with that.
He's good in the post, but he needs to stretch in order to be more effective for this team because Blake plays fucking post game.
He plays both. He plays the 3-point game and the post game.
Yeah, but he's just a recent 3-pointer, and that's because Andre sucks up so much middle.
I agree. And that's what I had a problem with when the trade happened. I was like, damn, how you going to put Blake and him in the paint?
Yeah.
Because Andre already needs help.
Right.
So I just want for
it's
I
like putting Melo and Blake in the same team. It's like they're both fucking with their back to the basket, dumbass. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, how do you make that work? But I mean, it does work. I mean, how can I put what I seen from Detroit last season? I was happy that the Detroit Pistons got to the playoffs. I knew they were going to get smacked because they didn't have Blake Griffin for most of that thing. The last game Blake Griffin wants to play, you know, and, you know, they still get smacked. So it doesn't really matter. But with that being said, them acquiring Derrick Rose.
Yeah, $15 million deal.
It helps. Now, Derrick Rose is definitely not the savior. And I wanted to tell the Detroit Pistons fans that they should not put so much pressure on Derrick Rose. Now, don't act like Derrick Rose. Don't act like you getting the same Negro from the early days in Chicago. You're going to get a quarter of the version of that Derrick Rose.
Well, they did the same thing with Allen Iverson when he came from Denver. I don't know why they thought they were getting some kind of crazy Allen Iverson back. Like, you're getting the question. You're getting the answer.
Yeah.
The answer was, I ain't that good no more.
Nope. And it's going to be the same way with Derrick Rose. Not saying that Derrick Rose ain't going to give you something, but he is not about to come up in here and score 30 points tonight. Detroit Pistons fans need to cut that out.
He's not going to get 150 ball game like he did in Minnesota.
Right. He won't.
No.
Because you got other people to pass the ball. Exactly. Not saying that, you know what I'm saying? Blake Griffin kind of dominates the ball in Detroit.
Exactly.
So it's like, you know, he's like a point forward. So, right. You know, Derrick Rose is going to get it, how he's going to get it. 2 years, so 2-year contract. So not too much to really worry about there. Detroit has to worry about getting Reggie Jackson out of there. And maybe Derrick Rose can start again. But with, you know, with how it looks right now. Yep.
So with those facts on the table, if you had to pick like a top three winner in free agency,
okay,
going 3-2-1, who's your top three winners with the complete deals on the table as okay, it stands right now? Who's won free agency?
Clippers, clearly. Got Kawhi. Clippers got Paul George.
Right.
Clippers have a complete team. Second comes the Lakers. With you landing Anthony Davis, puts you up there.
Right.
Before the Kawhi trade happened, the Lakers were favored to win the championship. So with that being said, it goes Clippers, Lakers, and then third is the Brooklyn Nets coming out of nowhere to land Kyrie and Kevin Durant. And the reports are Kevin Durant didn't even talk to the Brooklyn Nets before he signed with them. He just was like, I'm going to Brooklyn. Like, I don't know how that works out, but I don't. Once again, Kevin Durant looks very weird.
Yeah.
As hell. I don't know what type of mindset he has, what direction he even wants to go in. I'm like, where is your ties to Brooklyn Nets? You know what I'm saying? What made you sign that? I understand Kyrie said he wasn't going to the Knicks. But it's like, damn, you could have asked for Kemba Walker to come to you with the Knicks. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to team up with Kyrie in order to make yourself look good. You know what I'm saying? You could have went to the Knicks, got all the money, and would have, you know, we would have got the max contract you would have. And the Knicks, I know a lot of people said that the Knicks didn't even offer him anything. And that's true. They didn't offer him anything, but they would have offered him the max. You know what I'm saying? If they would have got a chance to talk to him. He didn't even talk to the Knicks. I guess there was a report that they didn't even want to talk to him or something of that nature. But it was like, nah, that wasn't the case. We wanted him. You know what I'm saying? True, we weren't going to offer him. At first, they said they weren't going to offer him max money because of his injury. Stephen A. Smith said that was bull, that that wasn't their thought process. They were going to offer him max money. So it's somebody lying. We don't know who it is, but that's not even a problem right now. Who cares? Because he's not in the Knicks uniform. So that's out of the question. And yes, the Knicks did miss that mark on both Kyrie and Kevin Durant. They should have offered Kevin Durant the max. I understand you're right. His Achilles injury is the worst injury to have in the NBA. It's going to be hard for him to come back. He's not going to come back next year. So the Brooklyn Nets are going to be irrelevant until he comes back. So, I mean, it might even work out for the Brooklyn Nets for the better, because if they are sorry enough, they can get a top 10 pick. And then next year have the top 10 pick and Kevin Durant coming in. I think that it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, definitely. My three are the same, but the first two are in the wrong order. I'll give you my reason. Mm-hmm. I know that the Clippers have acquired two major pieces.
King Kawhi
and Paul George. Yep. But if the question is who won in free agency, I gotta give it to the Lakers first.
Ooh.
The reason I'm gonna give it to the Lakers, obviously they landed Anthony Davis. LeBron and Anthony Davis is better than Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. That's just, you know, we're just talking about 2-on-2.
You're right. If the game was a 2-on-2, you're absolutely right. I would choose LeBron.
But I mean,
But
if we're just talking about the winning of free agency, well, let's look at it then, right? Because the Lakers picked up DeMarcus Cousins along with AD.
Who is DeMarcus Cousins right now?
Well, he's a 28-12 guy when healthy.
But he will never be that again.
But they didn't lose, though, because they only agreed to a 1-year deal.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, so that's a win. Lakers also pick up Danny Green. Hold on now.
Okay.
Key role player. Mm-hmm. Played with Kawhi in San Antonio, was a sniper from 3-point line. Plays a little bit of defense.
Played with Danny Green wasn't a part of the Toronto team, was he?
Yeah.
So, I mean, he played with them in both teams. Ain't that something?
Played with them on both teams. See what I'm saying? You have a little bit of insight there. You know what I'm saying? You also agree to a 2-year deal with Rondo. That gives you a solid point guard. One of the better playmakers in the NBA. This dude averaged 20 assists at one point. I mean, come on. Let's be real. Rondo's got the eye. He's a veteran. He's got that
back
eye.
Back in Boston. So, and look, Rondo will never have the ball like that again. LeBron James is on the court. LeBron James is Rondo's the point forward.
He's still long. He's still athletic.
Still can't shoot.
He's smarter.
Still can't shoot.
He never had to shoot. He won the ring without shooting.
I know, because he had other about shooters around.
Right. And now he does too
and
now.
Just because you got Danny Green and who else they got? They got Kyle Kuzma still.
That's what I'm saying. But hold on. You picked up Troy Daniels. Troy Daniels can shoot.
But who is Troy Daniels to the world? Like, who knows of him? That's what I'm trying to get at.
Hey, we say that a lot about a lot of people that when free agency and these trades come around, these dudes, who was Chris Middleton 2 years ago?
Well, shit. I knew Chris Middleton by when he was picked in Detroit, and I was mad.
You want no household name.
You're right. He was not. He was not that good. You're right. He was a young rookie in Detroit. And all of a sudden, he leave Detroit, and just, I'm just looking at him like, God damn, like, why did Detroit even let him go? Like, God damn, I'm mad at Chris Middleton. I'm mad at that whole fiasco with Detroit and the fact that Detroit couldn't keep him in order to see his development because that would have been great for the city.
Well, you missed out on the guy who's apparently worth $178 million because that's what Milwaukee just signed him to. Shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that tells you something. But here's my sneak peek though, because we got somebody who's could be effective offensively and really could probably be a mismatch problem because of his size and ability to shoot the ball, and he's one of those old school guys who got a mouth on him. So the Lakers landed Jared Dudley. Now, a lot of people don't like Jared Dudley because of that mouth. Let me tell you something, kick a ball.
Jared Dudley is completely washed.
Dudley can ball.
In the big three, he damn sure can ball. He better go take his ass to the big three and stop playing games. He is not going to do anything for the Lakers.
But he's going to give you good minutes in 20 minutes. He's going to give you
You know what he's going to give you? He's going to give you good minutes and 5 to 6 fouls. That's what he's going to give you.
Sometimes that's all you need.
That's all he's going to be good for. What is his contract looking? This is a 1-year deal?
1 year, $2.6 million.
It proves your point. Once you have a 1-year deal, it proves just how valuable or lack thereof value there.
How valuable was David West to the Warriors? 1-year deal, $1.7 million.
He stayed there for more than 1 year though, did he?
But he signed a 1-year deal.
Was he coming off an injury?
No, he was fine. He came from Indiana.
Came from Indiana, was fine. He was just old. Once you hit that old stature,
yeah, you're gonna get the veteran minimum.
He was very valuable for the Warriors.
If you ain't a Tim Duncan, you're gonna get the veteran minimum.
I agree with you, but if you set them both down and said, you know, who's better, David West or Jared Dudley, who would you pick?
David West. I had a hands down.
There you go.
But my only point is that though, you don't like Sean Livingston, they haven't even solidified his contract yet. It's just because these veterans, man, you don't know if they're gonna play the whole year. But Jared Dudley, he's one of those guys, man, that could just be annoying. I think he's gonna do good on the Lakers though, because guys settle in around LeBron. Now you're talking about being around some major all-star talent. It's gonna be press everywhere. Dude, these dudes are getting ready to play out of their mind. Like, they're gonna play their best game that they can because they know that they have it's different Jared Dudley playing for the fucking Brooklyn Nets, knowing he ain't got a shot in Sam Hell to get to the finals, versus him playing for the Lakers under LeBron. He probably always wanted to play under LeBron. He's getting ready to play under a decent coach, but he'll have management behind him now. You know what I'm saying? He's playing in L.A. Way better scenery. He's playing, you know what I'm saying? I think this dude get ready to play good productive minutes. I think they won with that one, man. They're not just picking up people just because. They're looking at pieces of the puzzle. They're looking at DeMarcus Cousins to be able to give Anthony Davis 15 to 18 minutes of rest. You know what I'm saying? They're looking at Rondo to be able to give LeBron 20 minutes of rest if he needs it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not just thinking big time talent. They're looking at what's worked for LeBron what hasn't worked for LeBron. And I think that they're trying to put that around him. I think Jared Dudley's a good look. He doesn't make stupid mistakes like J.R. Smith. Okay. Late McClutch, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's 34 years old. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's smarter. He knows the game. You know what I mean? That's what they're, that's what they're looking for. There's a few players that signed. I mean, there's like 10 players right now in the league that signed big three contracts. They need to go to big three next year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Jared Dudley's going to be one of them. Trust me. After this year, he's gone. With that being said, who is your third in this free agency winner?
My third man would have to be, you know, I want to say the Brooklyn Nets, but part of me is leading towards the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay, and why?
Well, when I look at who the Dallas Mavericks picked, first of all, Dallas Mavericks had a great year last year.
Yeah, they had a fair year last year.
They had a fair year. I mean, they have promising young talent on the Dallas Mavericks team, and they have great leadership and ownership at that team. They got one of the richest guys in the
yes,
business.
Yes, they do.
Mark Cuban underneath them. First of all, they signed a 5-year deal, $158 million for Kristaps Porzingis.
Okay.
They also picked up shooters around them. They got Seth Curry. Seth Curry is underrated only because his brother is Steph Curry. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, Steph Curry is a great shooter on any other team if Steph Curry is not his damn brother. You know what I mean? Like, that's unfortunate for him. But they picked up Maxwell Kleber, 4-year, $35 million deal. Great forward, can shoot the ball.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, the Dallas is looking to the future. And they're looking at what they got. They know that they need to put pieces around Kristaps Porzingis. And I'm sorry, Boban Marjanovic, man. If you want a center, this dude's like 8 feet tall, hands 36 inches wide, play defense, slow, slow.
Yeah.
Very slow, can't shoot. But if I need defense, I'm putting in Boban. And that is not a bad look for the Dallas Mavericks. I think they come out in third, in my opinion. In free agency.
I could see Dallas doing something, but let's be real about this. Where do
Brooklyn's
you see
gonna go
Dallas?
Farther than Dallas?
I'm just talking about in the West. Where in the hell does Dallas line up far as in your mind? Playoff
this year could be I don't see Houston being as good if they don't land Russell. So I see Dallas potentially being a fifth, maybe sixth seed.
Okay.
In the West. Brooklyn obviously going to be seeded higher if Kevin can play. Brooklyn might not make the playoffs.
They
with
won't.
Just Kyrie.
I don't think they will. I'm not thinking that because they don't have a, in my mind, without, all they have is Kyrie and Kevin Durant on their team that is,
They got rid of Damari Carroll.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you got rid of some guys that actually could have helped.
Yep.
Kyrie if he was there. You know what I'm saying?
All they gonna have next year is Kyrie, DeAndre Jordan, they got Caris LeVert, Sabazz Napier. They got some
bums.
I mean, they just got some young guys. I mean, it's not that the
Sabazz Napier didn't pan out like we thought.
Not at all.
And that might be LeBron James' fault, but still. He did not pan out like we thought. Cause they got rid of Ed Davis. That's a mistake. What the fuck you get rid of Ed Davis for? Why would you? You know what I mean? Like
to get Kyrie and fucking Kevin Durant.
But I mean, just knowing, there had to be another diplomatic way, man. I think you lost too much. But I mean, if you're just thinking about next, I'm pretty sure just thinking about next year.
Yes.
But that's fine. And really, they should suck. I think Kyrie should sit out most of the year. I think he should fake an injury.
I agree.
He should sit out.
Yep. Good. Then you can also help yourself in the draft. Yes. Hopefully, you can get you will, if you're sorry enough, get a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
And can possibly team up and become full strength the following year for anybody else. So Brooklyn Nets can have a full strength. You can have a top pick. You can have top rookie and Kevin Durant next year. So you have two draft picks, basically, because Kevin Durant is not going to play next year. He's going to make sure he's at full strength or as great as can be. You know what I'm saying? Get himself mentally ready, because once you come back from Achilles injury, it is your mental mind that is going to mess with you, because you're not going to be as explosive, because you don't want to re-rupture your Achilles. So you're going to be very cautious, and you know how, how lean framed Kevin Durant is. So
yeah,
all that jumping and all that stuff with him being about 6'10", 6'11", you know, shooting it you know, as many times as he wants to put that ball up a game, it's going to, you know, have some wear and tear. And I know that, you know, his first season back, it's going to be a little hesitant, especially at the beginning of the season. Now, once playoffs and stuff come like that, once they make it, then it's, you know, it is what it is, Kevin. You got to go out there and just put it all on the line. If you re-rupture, you already know what it is. You just got to go back to rehab. And, you know, it's going to be a hang-up season after that. You just hope now, because you know if you get two Achilles ruptures, you're going to have a long way back. It is not going to be something that's easy. You can just ask DeMarcus Cousins. He's going through that now. This is one of the reasons why I say DeMarcus Cousins is not going to be, not ever going to be, live up to that 28-12 guy that he was in Sacramento because of those Achilles injuries.
Well, he's just got to lose weight. He's got to lose 20 pounds.
It's going to be hard to do that.
You can strengthen your Achilles. It's not the problem. It's the fact that he's so damn fat that, you know what I mean?
And that's like, what I'm saying.
He's putting so much pressure on it. Yeah, I mean, if he loses weight, and I think that right now he can, because he's with LeBron. LeBron, you talking about somebody who can teach you how to get lean. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. This dude made Dwayne Wade, you know, he rehabbed Dwayne Wade back to life, spent seven figures taking Dwayne Wade from Miami to Europe to get his legs worked on, you know, bring him back to life. If there's somebody who can get Boogie, I mean, oh, come on now. Are we forgetting? Boogie Cousins was just in the Olympics balling, putting up 40, 50 points a night.
Yeah.
Balling a couple years ago. I mean, this dude is not that far out from being able to play like that again. He hasn't had the right team around him to be able to get him back in shape. People just want to use him. He's like a, you know what I'm saying? Big dudes. I'm a big fan of Robin Biggs' show, man. He used to come on. Mm-hmm. Before big black boykins died, man.
Yeah.
Big black, he always said, man, being a big dude is like being like a moving truck, man. Everybody wants to use you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? When it's convenient for them, but nobody wants to take care of you. And that's exactly what happens with Boogie. Warriors need him. They put him in there for minutes. They ain't worried about him rehabbing. Dude, can you run? You know, it's like the old Mickey movie. Can he play? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, that's true.
He needs to get. I wish he would have went to Phoenix to rehab, but he needs to get with somebody who is willing to take time for him to heal properly. And then you got a phenom, a guy that, because, I mean, if you're looking at two people who had injuries that cost them hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yes.
Boogie Cousins is definitely one of them.
Yep.
Boogie Cousins is definitely one of them. So, yeah. I mean.
Definitely is one of those guys that, you know, like I said, it's unfortunate that he had two Achilles ruptures.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like you said, it's all about his weight, right? Now, with that being said, now, I think it's a lot of it is mental with Boogie as well, especially after having that type of an injury. Your mind never lets itself go. You always are wondering, damn, I could dunk and I could land wrong. I could just jump up, come down, and my stuff will be just gone. And there's nothing I can do about it. So it kind of holds you back. Your mind is holding your own self back from playing up to your potential. And that's one of the reasons why I don't blame Boogie for the way he's playing. Because, hell, if I was him, I'd be scared too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can dunk on somebody and fucking end my whole career. Because I know if I get three Achilles injuries, ain't nobody signing me back.
Y'all might as well
sign me up with Ice Cube and the Big Three. Because I'm about to be up in there. There's no way in hell I'm about to, you know.
The problem is, though, is that, so, okay, if you hurt your ankle, you got an ankle wrap, right? You hurt your knee, there's knee stabilizers, you know what I'm saying, surgery you can do, and then you can wear knee braces, things like that restrict the movement.
Mm-hmm.
Your Achilles tendon, in order to be properly function, has to be able to stretch that ligament out every time that you walk, run, jump, leap, anything like that.
Yeah.
So there's nothing you can put on it.
That will protect it.
Ergo tape, nothing to protect it. Which is why Kevin Durant's in the position he is, DeMarcus Cousins in the position he is. It's got to be the hardest injury to come back from, because you need that joint every single movement that you take on the court. Defense on both sides of the floor. It's a very scary thing. I feel sorry for the guy.
I do too. I most definitely do. I hope that Kevin Durant can definitely come back in a couple years and be at full strength and not let his mind get the best of him, because I know that's what will happen. But you know, I just want to see that man because I know Kevin Durant is one of the best players in the NBA. Period.
He's second best player. Second best player in the league.
You know what? I wanted to ask you this question, and this is going to go into. We're going to follow this up with the summer league. See what.
Yeah.
What players are you watching? What teams are looking good to you in the summer league? I wanted to ask, who are the top five players in the NBA right now? In order.
Okay.
In your mind.
Top five players in the NBA right now. I mean, obviously, you got the obvious ones.
Yeah. Go ahead and run it down.
So, if I have to go... I mean, are you going off of stats, or are you going off of just who I believe is purely the best players in the league?
Purely the best. Now, I don't care about stats. I want to know who's the best.
Okay. Okay. Talent-wise, mixed with stat, basketball ability, and just a complete knowing of the game, your IQ, everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go, dig me on this.
Okay.
Top five, LeBron James at number one slot.
Okay.
Healthy Kevin Durant's unmatched at number two.
Okay.
And a lot of people flip-flop those ones and twos, how they feel.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And I don't have a problem with that. At the number three, I'm going to have to go with Steph Curry.
Ooh, okay.
I have to go with Steph Curry. He's the greatest, greatest shooter I've ever seen in my life.
Okay.
He's not just a great... And even though I believe that Kyrie Irving has better handles than Steph Curry and can shoot... Kyrie Irving is lights out when he wants to be as well.
Yes, when he wants to be.
But Steph Curry, he... And in these last playoffs, when the chips were stacked against him versus Toronto...
Mm-hmm.
I saw a Steph Curry that I've been waiting to see since before they acquired Kevin Durant. And this guy can still ball. And he's so crafty and sneaky. Mm. And people lose him. He just knows the game.
Yeah.
And so I like him at the number three spot. Number four is a little harder for me, right?
Because
at number four, I want to put a Harden, a Davis... a Kawhi Leonard or a Giannis at that spot, but I'm gonna have to go with my gut.
Okay.
When I'm thinking about complete player, both sides of the floor, I gotta give it to Kawhi.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't give him all those high praises and then leave him out of the top five. You know what I mean? I gotta put him at number four, and he could arguably be number three.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind switching Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard. I'd probably go Kawhi 3, Steph 4, just because Kawhi Leonard's bigger, stronger. He can also shoot, but he's a better defender.
Yep.
He has leadership, and he's not funny. I'm gonna change that up, and I'm gonna go Kawhi Leonard at 3, Curry at 4.
Okay.
And that's
five gonna, is what?
That's gonna put me in a hard Giannis? Spot.
You gotta be Giannis.
It's going to put me in a hard spot. I mean, Giannis is the MVP this year. But Giannis, he's got size.
He can still improve his game.
But he's not complete.
I agree with that one.
He's not complete. And
but he's still good as hell. He ain't complete, but he's still good as hell.
Now, here's my thing. I will take Harden's offense over Giannis' incomplete game right now.
Okay.
I'll take Harden's offense. I'm sorry. Harden has been incredible. I mean, purely incredible since the day he stepped into Houston.
I agree. His the way he shoots that ball, he cooks you before you know it's coming. In my mind, when he is in the ISO, he goes dribble, 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 step back.
Yeah,
he does a step back and a step back, and then he shoots. Like, damn, you know it's coming.
Right now, James Harden is more exciting to watch than Anthony Davis or Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Of course.
I have no problem putting him at number five.
But yeah, you didn't put Anthony Davis. You didn't put Anthony Davis or Giannis
because,
in your top five.
Well, because I mean they're essentially the same guy.
Not really. I think Anthony Davis is better than Giannis.
No, he's better, but he's also older. He's also okay. Yeah, Anthony Davis also couldn't shoot when he came in the league. It was appalling to watch him shoot that first three-pointer. The worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, but he got better.
He got better. That's what I'm saying, and that's why I think Giannis is Anthony Davis, just from Greece. I think that they're the same. Dude, like, Giannis will be playing in the Olympics. He'll be doing the things, Anthony. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're both 7 foot, you know, crazy freak athletes. Anthony Davis just matured in his game. Like I said, though, he's older. He's been playing around LeBron and these guys on the off seasons. And when Giannis gets that chance to do those things as well, he'll also be better and be a better shooter and be overall have more game. And then he will move up to the top five. Yep. But I'll just keep him and Anthony Davis at number six comfortably for me. Because it's easy to just put those two in there, but neither one of them are true game changers like the first five for me.
Right. Glad that was your top five. My top five is going to actually shock a little bit of, probably a lot of people.
I like that. Let's go.
My number one guy is Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Just in my opinion, Kawhi Leonard is going to end up being
the best player in the NBA. Okay. We're talking about right now.
Right now. I'm not saying that. Well, forget that. I know Kawhi Leonard is a dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, to be able to do what he's doing in that finals, he reminds me more of MJ than what I've seen in recent years. The last person to do that to me was D-Wade in 06 when he went up against the Dallas Mavericks. And I just seen him just take over. He was like, give me the ball. I'm shooting it. I'm scoring every single time down the court. When I see Kawhi Leonard have the ball and he's taking that shot, it's almost like, in my mind, it's kind of like how Kobe was to me. It's almost like, damn, are you about to make this shit? Like, in my mind, like, no matter what.
Right.
Like, no matter what you do, he's just going to make that shot. And he is a terrific defender as well. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that gets me. The reason why I don't have LeBron James up there is just because of age. Right now, Kawhi is younger. So, in my mind, he's going to last a little bit longer in the NBA. He has a little bit more to prove, and I believe he will win one more championship, and it will be with the Clippers. And, you know, that's just the way that is. Now, number two.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Before you get to number two, though, I have to take issue, though, because, I mean, LeBron James is basketball. When you teach, I'm sorry, if I have to teach a child the proper way to play the game at the highest level with the most brilliant IQ possible, how can I not reference to LeBron James in every aspect of the game? Now, shooting, LeBron James is he's gotten better. He is an elite shooter right now in the league. His numbers say it is. But he's the best passer in the league to me. And he's playing all five positions as well as willing teams to win nightly basis. He took a team that should have never been in the playoffs to the playoffs.
I agree. In Cleveland, that was back then. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm just saying, he's still that same guy to me, even though he's a year older.
I don't believe that though.
Why not? I mean, he just had his best season.
You know what? You know why? Because where was LeBron James at this year in the playoffs?
Well, where's his team at too? Though, I mean, he's still like. Toronto still had a better team than, you know what I mean? Like, they were still stacked. They had a good team. They had a deep bench and a good team. That can get you to the playoffs in the East every time.
I agree. But he won a championship.
Where was Kawhi Leonard at last year in the West? Where was Kawhi Leonard at the year before that in the West?
Asking for a trade to San Antonio?
Yep. You know why? He wasn't winning.
That's why.
They weren't winning games. See what I'm saying, though? LeBron James was still winning. He's gonna always be the more critical piece to a team than Kawhi Leonard is. LeBron James is gonna be the most valuable piece on the floor in any game against any team than any other player on that team. I guarantee.
That is where we agree to disagree. I believe that it is now Kawhi's lead. How can I put this? Does Kawhi Leonard pass better than LeBron James? No, I don't believe that. Does he play better defense than LeBron? Yep, now. He does now. LeBron James is old as hell. He ain't playing that much defense. Not unless he has to. Now, if somebody's showing him up, he'll play defense. But other than that, there was no need to play defense
last year because nobody played defense last year on the Lakers.
Nah, not really at all.
LeBron James can still defend all five positions. well.
Kawhi can too, but he's not, you know, not the center position. How about that? But he ain't gonna give up. How about that, Kawhi?
He won't give up, but he'll get
give up. Steph, he'll get dunked
Curry
on,
was
but it's
burning
his
ass though.
Who what?
Curry was burning him though. He wasn't looking that solid in front of Curry. He had to get switching on.
I mean, obviously, he, you know, because he had to save his energy. But at the same time, LeBron James ain't about to guard Steph Curry.
He guarded him in the finals every year.
But in my opinion, I'm looking at it like this: why would Joe Big Ass be guarding somebody so small when you know damn well there's other big people who you can guard? Not saying that they didn't win the finals anyway, but it just, you know,
you could have been guarding
a Draymond. Not saying,
but look at LeBron when they played Chicago though. When they had to get past Chicago, when Chicago was great, he had to guard Derrick Rose. LeBron just wants the best player on the floor. If I'm trying to get to
that
the chip,
but that's
I want
young LeBron. That's young LeBron.
But he just I need to see. I need to Steph Curry 2 years ago.
That's 2 years ago, though. You know what I'm saying?
That's not a long time in the NBA because this last year didn't even basically count.
I mean, I agree with that. And even his team was trash in my opinion, but
he wasn't trash.
But you took a trash team to the finals. Why couldn't you take this trash team to the finals?
Yeah, that team though, they had, you know, it was more role players on that team. This team was just a bunch of scrubs and bums.
This team is still a bunch of scrubs with two superstars on it. I think you will make the playoffs.
Danny Green's a sniper.
Not a bum, but not. I can say it like this: is Danny Green a star?
He's a star.
I don't know about a star. He's a star role player. He ain't a star.
Danny Green was a star in San Antonio. Now, hold on.
He was a role player in San Antonio.
We're letting 6 months in Toronto go too far.
No, I'm just saying, if you say Danny Green was a star in San Antonio,
he was the number two option.
Then why in the hell did San Antonio let him go?
Because San Antonio sucks. Look who they got. Look at San Antonio now. You have to get what you can get.
They were in rebuilding.
Do you think San Antonio got rid of Danny Green because they were going to get better without him? Hell no.
But they knew that he wouldn't. If Danny Green were have stayed with Toronto, if he would have stayed with the Spurs right now, with no Tim Duncan and no nothing, Danny Green is not going to change that the outcome of.
Neither would Kawhi. That's why they were doing.
Yes,
oh my God!
You're crazy if you think that Kawhi Leonard could not change the way the Spurs season was.
Why do you think that as soon as Tim Duncan's done, Kawhi Leonard wants out? There's a reason.
Because Kawhi Leonard
needs a good center. The same way Kobe needed a good center. The same way Kobe had a Pau Gasol.
I agree with that one. But who was the great center in Toronto?
Marc Gasol. Played fantastic.
Marc Gasol was not. He is not Shaq. He is not Tim
Duncan. He's not Shaq. Whoa.
Is he not solid?
Was Marc Gasol not throwing them boys from 3-point range, keeping them in the game? Was Marc Gasol not playing great defense? Was Marc Gasol not lights off from the free throw line?
I don't know. I wouldn't really focus on Marc Gasol.
I'm a huge Marc Gasol fan. Let me tell you, Marc Gasol playing great basketball, and he earned his money, and he did exactly what Marc Gasol gets paid to do. Play defense. He shoot the ball. He leads the team.
Siakam was better than that, though.
How many games, though?
Pascal Siakam was better than Marc Gasol.
Well, they don't play the same position either, though.
I agree with that one, but they're still in the paint.
We're on the same team, though. They ain't really in the same paint, though. Marc Gasol, he was playing more of the stretch out there and allowing Pascal Siakam to do more slash and dash.
Which is his game. Not saying that Marc Gasol is less. I wouldn't say it like this. I'm not
he's
saying
less
like
athletic.
I wouldn't say like Marc Gasol was less important than Pascal Siakam. You know what I'm saying? I won't say it like that. But at the end of the day, if you came down to it, who would you rather have, Marc Gasol or Pascal Siakam? That's what I'm trying to get at with you.
Who the hell Pascal Siakam was before the finals, first of all. Nobody.
Toronto knew who he was. Oh, I knew God. Who he was, but I didn't know he was going to be like that. But he had moments where he was great in the finals. He had moments where he was just average and really, really looking for a shot or anything like that.
But
so,
you know who was being consistent?
Marc Gasol, brother. With a good 10-10. That's what he was solid for.
Hey, man, it was critical when he gave you those 10-10. It meant something.
I understand that. Oh, let me stick back on topic and get done with this top five. Yeah, number one was Kawhi.
Yeah.
Number two is LeBron.
Okay.
Hands down, in my opinion, number three to five is where it gets a little dicey for me, because I'm with you with a lot of those players, but one thing I do not have Steph Curry in my top five. Not saying that he's not great, but these other three players are just that much, in my opinion, they're more impactful. Number three, in my opinion, is Giannis.
Okay.
I go with Giannis as three. I'm looking at how young and talented you can be, how much potential you have compared to anything. I like his defense. Obviously, he's, in my opinion, a force to be reckoned with in the paint. His skills are not up to par just yet. They leave him open to shoot three-pointers at will, and he makes a couple, but he's not like – it ain't like he's Steph Curry with it at all.
No.
So he has room to grow. In my opinion, the growth that he shows is a little bit more than what I noticed with other players.
Okay.
My number four is Anthony Davis. Now, Anthony Davis is still a big time. He's a big time big. The fact that I say like this, people will appreciate Anthony Davis with the Lakers than they ever did with the New Orleans Pelicans, period.
Okay.
You'll see why he is a top five guy next year playing for the Lakers. I can guarantee you that.
Okay.
And with my number five.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting.
It is a toss up for me, because now I'm looking at it like, man, who do I really go with now? I'm running out of players to really put up there. I mean, you could obviously put Harden in there, for sure can put Harden in there. But I want to see somebody who can play both sides of the court to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would put Westbrook in there. Not saying that he's a champion in the making or anything like that. We just talking about a person who can ball any given night. Be a top five star. My fifth would be Russell Westbrook.
Until Westbrook can play, learn to play basketball the right way, I can't be a fan. I just can't. I got to drop my cup on that one.
It's gonna. Until, well, I'll say it like this.
He's not affecting his team in the right way. I can't put him in my top 10 right now. I'm sorry.
I mean, I understand that part, but at the same time, did you really expect Oklahoma City to do anything?
Doesn't matter though. I still want you to play right. Because here's the thing, though. If, you know, Russell Westbrook might be the most physical point guard I've ever seen in my life, most aggressive point guard I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, if I can't, like, when I'm thinking about a top five, I'm thinking about who's helping my team win and who's making my team better. And I do not think that Russell Westbrook is a team guy. And I don't think he's worthy of being in your top five. You and Wenzel are going to have to interject. I object.
I mean, you can object all you want.
You need to put another number five in there, man.
Well, if you want me to do that, how can I? Let me see. If I had to replace Russell Westbrook, take him out of my top five and put someone in there, I probably would end up putting Harden in there. That's my fifth guy. Just off of pure offensive power alone. I just seen him cook too many people not to give him his just due.
I mean, it's exciting.
If we could go on our top 10, for Christ's sake. I mean, there's plenty of young players that I can look at and be like, you know what, I think he's going to be something. Kisnap Porzingis, I think, is a young stud. Now with the Dallas Mavericks, can be the next Dirk Nowitzki. Yeah. I mean, come on. I mean, I think he's worthy of being in the top 10 players. You know what I'm saying? So, players out there.
We're talking young players in Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic is the man.
I agree.
That's the guy to beat.
Yeah, I agree. Porzingis is right there with him.
Oh, yeah.
I wish that Porzingis would have stayed in New York, but New York was trying to, you know, cash their money in with Durant and Kyrie, and they totally failed on that one. But yeah, I mean, at the top five is a very tough one. I know I put you on the spot. It's very tough to just in your mind just say, hey, there's my top five players in the NBA right now, but hey, I had to do it to somebody, you know what I'm saying?
And look for